From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
There's no scenario where I'd ask for a third term, absolutely none. I hope I can get term limits on the ballot, but separate from that, I will only do two terms. I don't believe anybody should stay in office longer than 8 years for statewide or 10 years for the General Assembly. We got some important things done in my first term. I'm proud of that, but there's so much more to do. I'm frustrated. We got a lot more to do. I know a lot of citizens and voters are frustrated. We got a lot more things that need to get done. And I believe we can get many of them done during my second term.
So $200 million, you know, eventually is what will be invested in this program. It's not that much. We'll work our way up to it. Much of the rest of the program, I should point out, like refinancing debt for people, really doesn't cost anything at all. So we've got to make sure that we're accommodating each of the unique qualities of the universities all across the state, while also taking into account performance, because we do want our universities to perform well.
Well, the race for Illinois governor getting into the home stretch. The candidates are trying to make their pitches to voters. Early voting now underway. The focus of the country this week has been on Washington and the Supreme Court nomination of Brett Kavanaugh, but the Me Too movement continues to play a role in Illinois politics as well. We'll discuss that and more coming up on State Week. In Springfield, I'm Sean Crawford, and our panel today includes in studio with me our education reporter for NPR Illinois, Dusty Rhodes. And at our State House studio, we have our State House reporter, Daisy Contreras, and she's joined by the WTAX radio reporter based in Springfield, Dave Dahl. And Dave, it's good to have you on once again.
Likewise. Thanks for having me back.
Daisy, I'll go to you first. We heard some sound there early at the start of this. We had J.B. Pritzker at a campus in Illinois talking about higher education, some plans for that. We'll get to that in a moment. Governor Rauner was appearing before the Crane Chicago Business Editorial Board. What was he getting at there? He seemed to be looking way ahead, way past this election, even talking about not running for a third term if he gets a second.
Yeah, I mean, that was his opening statement during the meeting that day. And he was saying, you know, I'm all for term limits and I'm only asking for one more to be able to complete what I couldn't do in the last 4 years. He went right ahead and he continued to kind of boast and say that he really wanted to continue doing right-to-work laws for counties, municipalities, so that they would be free of union regulation. And these are some of like the ideas that he's been pushing for the last 4 years. He wants less mandates on local governments and school districts, and he just, you know, kept pushing those same ideas. And, you know, it's hard. It's going to be hard. If he does get reelected, it's, again, Democrats have been pushing against those same ideas for the last 4 years, so it's difficult to tell if that's going to happen.
Well,
another term.
We know that Governor Rauner is struggling a bit with Republicans to get some of them back into the fold. We saw that become an issue in the primary, which he barely defeated Jeannie Ives. Dave, this sounds like he's trying to drum the base up a bit, you know, talk about right to work, things like that, that seem to be more popular with Republicans. Is that what his angle is right here?
That's probably so, because you know that we're going to continue to hear about House Bill 40 and maybe even about safe or sanctuary states or municipalities. It's not going to hurt the governor, who lost 48% of the vote to Ives to try to get that base back.
Do you think this is going to work, though, Dave? I mean, here it hasn't worked for him so far, if you look at most polling.
Well, what is going to work for the governor? You know, what is his constituency? Who are the people who are going to say, we need four more years of Bruce Rauner? I mean, I'm not saying he can't win, but it's not an indefensible strategy.
And meanwhile, J.B. Pritzker was, as I said, at a college campus in Normal, Illinois State University, talking about higher education. And Dusty, what were the main points he was trying to make with this idea?
Well, he's announced a big plan to reinvigorate higher education in the state of Illinois, which definitely needs it. And you know, I feel like this is the 97th time I've said this into a microphone. We've been losing college students, high school grads who should be going to college. We've been losing them at a greater rate than any state other than New Jersey. So a lot of what he has proposed, J.B. Pritzker, is already in the bipartisan working group you know, they're gonna keep doing this whether he's elected or around.
There's a group of lawmakers working on higher education issues and maybe financing, funding, things like that.
Well, they've put forth a package of bills in the last session, and they're still meeting. I really am interested in what they're doing, but they meet privately. I'm not allowed to go watch. So some of the things that Pritzker has proposed doing is increasing MAP grants. He wants to expand eligibility for the AIM High, the merit-based financial program, so that 90% of Illinois households can benefit. One problem with that is that that's a match. So in one way, he's proposing giving money to universities. In another way, he's saying they're going to have to use that to match this expanded scholarship program. Some of this stuff is just already here. Ensure that community college credits transfer to public universities. That's an articulation agreement that dates back to 1993. We're really good at it here in Illinois. So the main thing is you don't know where these funds are coming from.
And that's that's the thing. I don't know anybody, Republican or Democrat, who doesn't seem to indicate that we should have strong higher ed institutions in the state of Illinois. We should support people wanting to go to college. At the same time, it's the cost where the issues always come up here and how you're going to pay for that type of thing. And there weren't a lot of details, if any, given during his stop in Normal.
No, I know he's proposed maybe gaming, sports gambling, and some marijuana assets,
legalizing recreational or something. Yeah,
but then he's also proposed using that money for other things. You can't spend the same dollar twice.
Well, that's a good point. And Daisy and Dave, I mean, I'm hearing that a lot from a lot, you know, at different times. People keep coming up with things that they want to see funded. More money going into K-12 education. They keep talking about sports gambling. They keep talking about legalizing marijuana. Again, there's a lot of other needs out there for the state, infrastructure needs. We, of course, have a lot of debt that we're trying to pay off. It seems as though, you know, again, we're in a campaign. I get that. But at the same time, you know, there's only so much money to go around, even if these things become a reality.
We're not hearing a lot of specifics from Pritzker. And in that sense, it gives him something in common with the governor. Who knows what he's going to do if he gets a second term?
Yeah, I mean, and for Governor Rauner, you know, if Pritzker were to provide any details, like, for example, with his progressive income tax plan that he's been talking about over the last few months and not offering any specifics on numbers on how he would structure that, gives Governor Rauner the opportunity to pounce on him and call him out on those numbers. So I guess in a way, Pritzker has been maintaining that silence in that. But voters are not being given, you know, the information that they need in order to make decision come November.
Well, I should also say, though, that even though they're not giving specifics, I know you guys remember Rauner's campaign and the issues that he hammered home. And, you know, he was true to those priorities, the right to work stuff and term limits. And all that time, universities were just decimated. And at least Pritzker is announcing it as a priority. So, you know, will he put his money where his mouth is? I don't know. But at least his mouth is being more pro-universities.
Well, and it's easy to, you know, to talk about all the things you want to do, like we said, until you really try to put a price tag behind it. I think there was it $200 million into the MAP grants, the monetary award program, that's for more need-based students. I think that was the number I had seen with that. There was talk about refinancing that student debt. Those all seem like good ideas, and I think things you could get bipartisan support for, again, it all comes down to the money. And But again, I think putting things out there and saying this is going to be a priority of my administration if I am elected, I don't think is a terrible thing. And if Bruce Rauner is doing the same thing, that's probably good as well.
And apparently earlier this week, Rauner was in Quincy and mainly to announce an infrastructure campaign and just tossed out that, oh, by the way, also hundreds of millions of dollars into higher ed. So maybe Pritzker announcing that as a priority has inspired Rauner to kind of take that on too.
And they ask us to forget those 2 years.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well,
was it only two?
Dusty, I want to go back to you too, because you covered, and so did Dave, I believe, the a news conference this week. Democrats, surprisingly, many of them up for election this year, holding a news event in which they talked about really calling out the governor on a veto of education legislation and efforts to try to override the governor. Dusty, fill us in on what that was about.
Well, Well, Menar had proposed a bill. I'm sorry, State Senator Andy Menar, Democrat from Bunker Hill, who took the lead on all the school funding reform over the past several years, followed up with a bill that's loosely called the 40K bill. It would mandate that teacher salaries be at least $40,000 a year 5 years from now. It would be phased in over 5 years. And it passed on a bipartisan basis, and the governor vetoed it. So Menar wants to get that veto overridden, and the Democrats have decided, despite the fact that some downstate districts are kind of screaming about this, we can't afford that, the Democrats have decided to go ahead and make it a campaign issue. And really their answer to the districts that are screaming is, look at the teacher shortage. You know, it's the old thing of, you think education is expensive? Try ignorance. So there's so many classrooms without teachers right now that they're saying that's a cost in and of itself.
Dave, does that seem like something that this strategy of bringing this up here this close to the election, that's something that's going to work for Democrats?
Well, I don't know. Nobody likes unfunded mandates, and that's what this is. And there was a woman at the news conference who had just retired from the Triopia School District in West Central Illinois and had a master's plus 16 hours, and her salary topped out at $45,000. And some of the circles I run in, you know, that's still pretty good money. I'm not sure how much sympathy that kind of complaint would engender. And, I mean, especially in a rather sparsely populated part of the state. I think everyone agrees teachers should make more money, but nobody wants to pay for it. And almost certainly in some of these districts, it would involve more money. It's pretty hard to explain it any other way succinctly.
Let me turn to a survey that came out this week, and just so everyone knows, NPR Illinois, University of Illinois Springfield, as well, combining on this survey. This was done in July and August, and it had a plus or minus error margin of about 4%. The thing that I wanted to point out in it that I think we could talk about for a few moments is really just dissatisfaction with government. That seemed to come up quite a bit there. Three quarters of those responding in the state, and this was a statewide survey, say that Illinois is on the wrong track. 14% say it's headed in the right direction. And half of those who responded said they have considered leaving the state. Doesn't matter to me at this point when I read numbers like that who the next governor is. They've got a lot of work to do, and they've got some problems ahead to try to get the public to believe that state government can turn itself around. And Daisy, it seems to me that that's something that is going to be a challenge.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Governor Rauner, for the last few maybe years, I mean, he's been talking about how, you know, he needs a better business climate for Illinois, that Illinois can do so much better because so many people are leaving the state, so many students are leaving the state, as Dusty said earlier. And people are probably listening to these things. Yeah, I mean, the next governor is going to have to figure out a way to keep people in Illinois. Pritzker offered his plan to keep some students here in Illinois. Universities across the state are implementing different programs, free tuition, so that more students can stay in. There's also this idea that this year we passed a balanced budget, but for many, it's not the case, on paper at least. We still have the Thompson Center that we haven't sold, but the budget includes that as revenue that could be used for the future. So, I mean, so many different moving parts that still have not come together.
When you look at both, we've seen Republicans and Democrats running the state for so long, and you see numbers like this, Dave, that seems to me to open a door for the possibility of a third party, if not to win necessarily. That's a tough thing for third parties to do in Illinois, but to make some inroads and, you know, whether they're protest votes that people give to the third party or whether they really support the platform, it seems to me that it opens that opportunity for them.
Well, there was some momentum with Rich Whitney and the Green Party, and that all went away. Now we'll see what Cash Jackson and Sam McCann bring in terms of votes. You know, part of me thinks that for all the talk of Cash and Sam, something inside me thinks that those voters are going to be coming home to the two national leading brands come election time. Maybe I'm wrong there, but I think a lot of people are going to be interested to see how many or how few votes Rauner and Pritzker split because the number of people who might be voting for the other two, a Libertarian and a Conservative Party candidate.
Do you, and Dusty, do you see that when it comes to things like education, we talk about and the need to increase revenue for higher education or for K through 12 education? Does this mentality that, you know, this doesn't really matter what I pay, the state's not going to do the right thing with it, that seems to come back on education a lot, whether it's referendums, whether it's something more at the statewide level?
Well, I mean, the same survey that you're talking about says that one of the main reasons high school kids are choosing to go elsewhere is because they don't feel like they can count on the state of Illinois to continue to give them their MAP grant or continue to fund their weird major in their in their college. Or, you know, they just feel like things are on such shaky ground here that who knows? That's a reason to leave.
And at the same time, about the same amount also said college too expensive in the state of Illinois, and overwhelming amounts, almost three quarters of the respondents saying that increasing funding to higher education to help bring down the cost of tuition is a high priority. So Pritzker and Browner mentioning this as well about trying to put more money to higher education seems to be what you would think would play well to voters.
You would think so. I mean, but one problem with looking at Illinois higher education is that, you know, we have that tuition guarantee thing where the tuition cost your freshman year, it's going to be the same for 4 years. And there are studies that show that tends to make your tuition higher. And a lot of kids, you know, like the new scholarship program that the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign put out, they're just trying to get kids over the sticker shock because our tuition looks so high, especially at the flagship campus. They just are trying to find a way to get families to not just immediately write it off.
Well, we're on the topic of this survey as well. Something else that came up in education, school vouchers were listed as what's considered to be a high priority for half of those who responded, and it was much higher among both African Americans and Hispanic respondents, saying that they would favor it as well. Any idea why that is? I mean, is it something that's just more popular in certain parts of the state and certain communities?
I think that public schools have been given a kind of bad reputation. And part of the reason that people are always looking for a school choice is because the public schools have been so underfunded. I doubt that those numbers of Hispanics and African-American respondents are in New Trier, where they have gourmet lunches. I think that reflects a dissatisfaction with the local public schools. And that is what parents can see as an immediate solution.
Well, certainly this week, I think most of the focus of the country tied up in the Senate confirmation hearings regarding Brett Kavanaugh and the testimony that was taking place there. Daisy, when it comes to harassment and this type of situation that's been going, we've been reporting on for now months in state government, finally a report was released this week. And can you tell us who released this report, what it was all about, what did it have to say?
Yeah, so it's called the Anti-Harassment Equality and Access Report, and it's paneled by Comptroller Susana Mendoza, Senator Melinda Bush, and Representative Carol Ammons. They're all Democrats, but they say that they approached the issue in a nonpartisan manner. They went around over the last few months hosting six listening sessions throughout the state to collect feedback and input from hundreds of women in politics. And as you have said, Sean, over the last year, since the Me Too movement began taking hold and going mainstream, women within state government have come out with allegations of harassment and misconduct. And so the panel came out with a lengthy report, over 30 pages long, describing some ways in which the state's political parties and campaigns at all levels can fight sexual harassment and other type of misconduct. So basically, from what going through the report and what I got from that was that one of their main things is that they think women should, we should be recruiting more women to get into government, to be running for office, that there should be a 50-50 divide in the legislature by gender at all levels. From their listening sessions that were privately held, they said that, you know, they confirmed that this is an old boys' culture, and it's a product of decades of institutionalized sexism, racism, and well alive within Illinois politics. They gave other recommendations that the parties should follow. They say that they're not going to implement any laws, or they're not going to, you know, force these recommendations upon parties and campaigns, but they want voters to keep lawmakers accountable. They also said that they should have used party funding and other campaign resources to adopt anti-harassment policies and get additional training and establish an independent body to investigate claims of harassment or misconduct. So, this was the product of over, you know, almost a year.
And so when I hear some of that, you know, I have to say, and I'm not going to downplay what's in the report, but I have to say it seems to me we could have sat down and probably put that together, some of those ideas, over a weekend. It seems like that took a longer period of time to put this into some type of report. I know things move slowly at times with government. Was there any reason why this has taken basically a year?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think that people, or at least those in the who made up the panel, wanted to make sure that they heard from people, that they heard from the women who have been there, who have maybe experienced harassment in the workplace. They wanted some, I guess, data or, you know, anecdotes that they could use for the report. They say, I mean, about 35% of the General Assembly is made up of women, and they, you know, we do need to change that.
The part that surprised me was the focus that the panel put on trying to get more women elected to political office. I mean, there's room for improvement there, but there's already a number of women there, and I didn't think that was the problem that this group was going to solve.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dave, what makes this, I mean, I know we can't look into the future in a crystal ball here, but we see reports come out all the time in state government. They're, you know, somebody reads them, they may get a little bit of news coverage, and then they're put on a shelf and forgotten about. Does this one seem different to you?
I think it seems different because of the times we live in. You know, a year or so ago, the news broke about Harvey Weinstein, and I barely knew who he was, and what, some Hollywood executive, okay. But the whole thing has gone pervasive, rolling all the way through this Supreme Court nominee's confirmation hearings, and who knows where it's going to go. And Tim Mapes lost his job for being kind of a jerk, kind of a bully. Shawda Kramer lost his job working with candidates for the Democratic Party for also being kind of a bully. Not necessarily the, you know, wink, hubba, hubba, let's, you know, go into the supply closet for a few minutes, which, you know, we think of as some kind of a, you know, sexual predator thing. But they're trying to crack down on all kinds of bad behavior, and it's still going on. And I think as people come up through the ranks, having been used to it, and as, you know, the people who are guilty of it eventually go away one way or the other, the tide may very well turn, but it'll take a while. And I think we live in different times.
And Dave, I think also, too, Speaker Madigan, I know he just put out an editorial a week or so ago in the Chicago Tribune where he talked about, you know, his mission to take the issue of harassment at the State House head on, tackle that, and also correct past mistakes. It's not just women who are talking about this, and I'll take the speaker at his word for that this is an issue that he wants to address and deal with, and anybody else who raises it. It seems to me the proof is always in the pudding what happens, you know, as we go forward.
And if you say he's too late on it, too bad. Mm.
Well, and you know, and I would like to add too, I mean, Speaker Madigan was hit hard with criticism, you know, starting a year ago when we started hearing all of these allegations of harassment and misconduct within the Democratic Party. You know, all sides kind of hit him, even within the party itself. Speaker Madigan, you know, how are you, you know, it took you so long to get rid of this person within your staff, or, you know, what are you going to do? And I think now he's, you know, a year later, he's trying to go back on that and set things right.
Well, Dusty, we've been around long enough to see issues. They come and go in the public eye. you know, Anita Hill and the Clarence Thomas issue that in the early 90s, that, you know, that got a lot of news coverage at the time, and then things seemed to kind of fade again. Do you feel, you know, as a woman who is actually, you know, covering government and such, do you feel as though this is something that's, you know, at least in government circles, is a game changer, what we're hearing now?
You're asking me that because I'm old. It does feel to me like it's got staying power. It feels to me like there's a generation that's coming up, like Daisy, who are going to expect equal treatment. When I was Daisy's age, I took discrimination as just a, you know, just a necessary evil. It was just part of my career, part of my personal life. It was just how things were going to be. And I think Daisy and her generation are going to expect a much better shot at equality.
And I think not expect demand.
Right. And you're going to see that probably more as more people come into the legislature. Turnover occurs in government at all levels. You're going to see that same, like you said, David, demand for change. You're going to see that more from these, from this different generation that's coming in.
It's about time.
Let's go to our notes from the field. And Daisy, let's start with you.
Yeah, early Friday morning on WBEC's, Chicago's WBEC morning shift, Governor Rauner said that he would want Judge Kavanaugh's confirmation to be delayed and investigated and postponed until they're, you know, the allegations are fully investigated. And Pritzker on the other side has said that he would prefer an FBI probe into the allegations.
Okay. Dave?
Illinois Science and Technology Coalition this week put out a report saying that the research and development, R&D, in Illinois is still strong, but the growth is almost non-existent, and that maybe now that the budget situation is settled, so to speak, perhaps it'll get going again in a more forward fashion. There have been, in the last 5 years, almost 1,000 startups through the incubator network, I am told. More than 700 are still out there, and more than 80% of them are based in Illinois. So much for the hatched in Chicago and Champaign and then raised and flourishing in Silicon Valley argument that we've been hearing.
Okay. And Dusty?
Well, my only note from the field would be I keep seeing our Senator Dick Durbin on the news because during the Kavanaugh Ford hearing yesterday, or we're taping here on Friday, he had this really star moment that to me sounded like it was a part of a musical. I saw on Twitter people saying that Kavanaugh's wife in the movie should be played by Maura Tierney. I think Dick Durbin will have to just be played by Dick Durbin. He was just it just sounded like an actor just challenging Kavanaugh to accept an FBI investigation, which he didn't.
Okay. Maybe in 200 years there will be a hip-hop version of it, Durbin with an exclamation point.
All right, that will do it for this week. Members of our broadcast today included Daisy Contreras, Dusty Rhodes, and also Dave Dahl. You can get a podcast of our show at nprillinois.org. You can also find us on NPR One. Just look for State Week. Production assistance for the program today provided by Bob Meyer. I'm Sean Crawford.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capital by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.